The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Business Unusual brought to you by those very helpful people at DigiCape, the go-to authorized Apple reseller and your local Apple expert. Start the conversation at digicape.co.za. Business Unusual, Colin Cullis this evening. I mean, I'm just looking at the proposals by Eskom to charge us another 19% on every kilowatt hour that we of electricity we consume from the middle of next year. And then, of course, our local municipality will add their margin on. So it means probably a 25% increase if this goes through. Maluski Gaba has challenged this and says there's no reason for Eskom to up electricity. But we've been paying multiples of our very cheap 2007 electricity ever since the power crisis. And with all of the corruption and all of the nonsense at Eskom, it really burns me, Colin Cullis, when I look at what the rest of the world is doing in terms of getting energy effectively, efficiently, and cheaply. Tell me a business unusual story around electricity.
Well, this is probably the first we're capable of almost covering all of South Africa and effectively half of Africa. They also managed to do 25% of all of Europe. So for the rest of the European countries that have got wind as part of their energy mix, they managed to offset the sort of consumption to 25%, which again was another record. And so this evening's one, we look at disruption, and this is the disruption to the electricity industries. And the disruption is not coming from us getting better at coal or even getting better at nuclear, but that the renewables and the prices and the efficiencies have started to come down so dramatically that it really is changing it for everyone. And I'm not to say that I'm negative about nuclear. Nuclear has its place and it's actually very reliable and it's fantastic. It's just that those shifts in renewables is so incredible. And in part, Germany is a very big player for how this happened. So their principal shift started 2002. The unpopularity with nuclear there had been growing over time. And of course, the issues with carbon had seen them want to shift their reliance on it. So 2002, they undertake to invest heavily in renewables. At the time, it's massive stimulus is required, big subsidies. The stuff isn't that efficient and or effective. And it starts improving. It gets to about 2010 and world economic crisis and the nuclear is just looking so cheap and good that they change their minds. And they say, no, we're keeping our reactors. They have about 19. Then Fukushima happens in 2011. They change their minds again, shut down 7, and they've got 9 left, and they're looking to have all of those shut down by 2022. The nice thing is that besides Germany offering the incentive for people to improve, China, rapidly growing, says we can't just rely on normal coal. They've got problems with pollution, so they can't rely on that completely. They're also building nuclear, lots of nuclear, but it takes a long time to build nuclear, and there are implications with it. Whereas these renewables, you can spark them up pretty quickly. They come at pretty low cost. They don't have huge capacities. Each individual project doesn't have your sort of 9,000 megawatts or something like that, but you can build them very quickly. And the improvements to the technology and certainly the software for the management, the likes of Elon Musk's and all of these guys, all those sort of winds come together, as it were, and create a perfect storm for where this can all go. And then country starts really doubling down on it. And, we've heard the line, the canary in the mine as a bellwether for something that's good or bad. Well, the Canary Islands here might be exactly one to use for a good one. One of the particular islands, El Hierro, it's the most isolated and out of the way. And it spent a lot of its income simply buying diesel to bring to the island to power everything. And they invested in a wind farm and a hydro project and now are completely independent. And so many more countries and typically islands are doing it. So Costa Rica, Uruguay, Paraguay, Denmark, Norway, Germany, Iceland, Sweden, Scotland, all of them have built up their renewable portions of their energy mixes that on occasion and sometimes for extended periods, they run simply on the renewables.
Why are you telling us this science fiction story in a South African context? Because it could never work here.
Well, that's more good news then, because South Africa, by GDP, back as 2012, we made pretty ambitious projects for what we want to do. The National Development Program has us wanting to add an additional 29,000 megawatts, and 20,000 megawatts is due to be renewables.
Now, but we then got a call from Damien earlier, and Damien was just talking about how the finance minister can actually get ahead in terms of his February budget, in terms of improving economic growth without having to spend a cent. And I think Damien was saying we just need policy certainty. And he used energy, coincidentally, to highlight the impact of a lack of policy certainty, talking about the 200 million rand that had been invested mostly by South African companies in renewables. And since then, there's been a backtracking. And now you've got renewables companies in South Africa laying people off simply because we've got such chaotic communication around what our policy really is when it comes to renewable energy.
Which is why I'm sticking with the science, because it's almost impossible for anybody to make an argument that says we shouldn't go this route. And again, this is not because nuclear is bad. It is not that at all. This is, here's the comparison I'd give you. Imagine you need to make a phone call and I want to tell you, well, you know what, Bruce, you need yourself a satellite phone. Now, satellite phones can work anywhere on the planet, but are very expensive and expensive to maintain, you know, the costs of making a phone call on them. So I suggest, well, why don't you just get yourself a basic mobile phone? That's all you need. And if it doesn't work so well, we'll just get a new one. And if you're not, you know, the perfect contract, you know, you, over time, the mobile phone prices continue to drop and the cost to connect to the networks continue to drop. And that's the better option for you rather than investing in this really expensive satellite phone. And, you know, in the same way that sort of Africa, for the most part, it sort of said, well, we're not going to go down the route of building fixed line communications. We'll just switch to mobile. Then the principles that go through fossil fuels and then maybe add some nuclear before switching to a mix of renewables, we can just give that a complete, we can pass bypass it. And there are issues with renewables too. You know, when the sun sets and the wind doesn't blow, you've got a little bit of a worry. And, you know, when you don't have enough power to go around, nobody's going to care how wonderful it is for the planet. They want to keep their lights on. But
yep,
by the same token, the improvements that are happening with battery technology or storage technologies and, you know, salt to use to keep thermal heat in inside it, these are the things that continue to work. And it's not like South Africa is, it's coal power station switch off tomorrow, or even that Kuberg stops working in the next 5 years. So we've got the base load sort of covered. It's what we start doing that allows the economy to grow, to start getting those prices down, to start giving people a reason to want to say, I want to come and start building businesses in South Africa, where energy prices are reasonable and dropping, where provision of electricity is safe and reliable and all over the show. And the other element that's given with the nuclear build is that potentially be a great opportunity for employment and gathering good skills. Well, you know, nuclear builds are happening all around the world. There is an international market for people who have those skills, but it's not a market that's changing a lot. People don't want to build better nuclear power stations. They want to make sure that they're safe, which means you don't change them. Whereas with the renewables, people are trying crazy new things all the time. So if we can invest in people, both with the provision and maintenance of the current technologies, but also invest in the new technologies, and Africa has a massive potential for rolling out and giving electricity so many countries that will benefit from having that access, if for nothing else, to power our mobile phones so we can keep them charged and get onto WhatsApp and do whatever we want to do.
Did I read the story about Germany right, that Sunday Germans got free electricity?
Yeah, so Europe works on sort of a supply and demand. So there's a futures on the electricity prices. And when they predict they're going to have a surplus of energy, then the price to buy that energy is reduced to the point that it could even say, we'll pay you to use the energy. And yes, there was sufficient energy generated on the weekend and specifically on Sunday that prices fell to zero. You could use the power for nothing. They would not charge you for running any of your energy needs. Now, it is a Sunday, and so fewer people use it, etc. It's not something that happens every day.
But I mean, I want to be in a country that takes energy seriously enough to be able to give us a little treat from time to time for being a good citizen who pays the electricity bill. Occasionally, here's a freebie. Wouldn't that be nice?
It is, and I think if Bob Dylan could be quoted here, the answer, my friend,
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual.